בטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב הנה מה טוב לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Well, we're continuing right now in the series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi, Robert Solomon. The series called The Wisdom of Solomon. Hopefully we gain some wisdom here today. I think that the message I have for you hopefully is very apropos for a lot of things that are going on in the world today. If you have not heard of this person before, I want to tell you just a little about a woman of blessed memory named Irina Sendler. Anybody off the top of your head know who that is? Raise your hand, wave your hand at me. Okay, one or two. Okay, great. Irina Sendler. Irina Sendler was a Polish Gentile woman who was born in the year 1910. And she did a lot of things in Poland before the war and was in healthcare of some sorts, but once the war started and the Nazis took over Europe and took over Poland, she was a social worker for the Warsaw, as in Warsaw, Poland, the Warsaw municipality. And so she used her official position to enter into the sealed Warsaw ghetto under the pretext of inspecting sanitary conditions there. Of course, you know, the Warsaw ghetto is where the Jews of Warsaw were all put in a tiny area and kind of sealed in until they were eventually mostly brought out and exterminated in World War II. She would go in under the pretext of her role as a social worker, and there she witnessed starvation, of course, disease, mass death, and she began smuggling in medicines, food, clothing, eventually weapons. When conditions worsened, she shifted to smuggling children out. I'm like forcing myself to keep control of my own emotions right now because of everything that means and what the story represents. She began smuggling children, babies, and small toddlers, and out of the Warsaw ghetto, and she hid them in ambulances. She hid them in sometimes toolboxes. She hid them in packages, or she led them through secret passages. Whew. I don't have to tell you the risk. For her, between 1942 and 1943, she helped rescue approximately 2,500 Jewish children. At least 500 of them personally, of that number. And once she would smuggle them out of the Warsaw ghetto, I mean, you can just imagine all the emotions. Giving up your baby like that or your child, it's kind of unfathomable, really. Once she smuggled them out, she placed them with Polish families, convents, orphanages, all over the place, and she kept meticulous lists of their real names because they were given Polish names when she smuggled them out. She took meticulous lists of their real names and families, and then she took these lists and small piece of paper sealed them in these little glass jars and buried them so that they would have the possibility of being reunited with their real families after the war. Her role involved coordinating safe houses, forging documents, distributing funds, and maintaining the secret identity records of these children that she saved. And in late 1943, the Gestapo arrested her. She was tortured and sentenced to death, but a guard was bribed, enabling her escape on the day that she was scheduled to be executed. What a life, what a story, what a journey. And despite this, because when they bribed the guard for her to escape, they gave her a different name. And they said, stay low. Instead, she returned immediately to underground work. And she said, quote, "I'm not a hero. I did what I had to do. I only did what was normal. I could have done more. Every child saved with my help is the justification of my existence on this earth." End quote. Whew. She passed away in 2008, very recently, really in the last 15 what years, whatever. She passed away in 2008, and on her grave are frequently found symbolic jars with paper inside. And there are many, many descendants of those 2,500 that she saved. But as you would imagine, sadly, not that many were able to be reunited with their families because their families no longer existed. But she saved generations of our people. What courage. What breathtaking courage. Exodus chapter 23, please. Exodus 23. It'll come as no surprise to you that, you know, when you work on a message like this, you do more research than what you present. And so, man, I just went deep down the Irina Sendler rabbit hole, just more and more details. There's an amazing story of how I came to knowledge about all that she had done. There was a group in Kansas of young people in a middle school that found out her story and publicized it, and called, I believe it was called Life in a Jar, and recounted that and made a little play out of it, and eventually gained her great acclaim. And of course, she was recognized in Israel as a righteous among the Gentiles, as you would have expected. Exodus 23, verse 2. Well, what does the word of God have to say? It's very interesting. I want you to receive what the Lord has for you. It says this, 23, verse 2. "Do not follow a crowd to do evil, nor are you to testify in a case to follow a crowd and pervert justice." And that's a powerful word right there, my friends. God is not for a lynch mob. That is not his mentality whatsoever. In general, there is a lot of pushback in Scripture about going primarily with the popular opinion. There's an awful lot in Scripture about this, beloved. This is something that we really need to internalize and to think about and to put into practice in our lives and have a top of mind for us the more and more we are in society. Because going always with the popular opinion can be very dangerous. It says, "Do not follow a crowd to do evil." Now, there can only be one reason why this was included in the Torah. Because God knew of the human proclivity to compromise when the majority is against us. See, God knows that about us. and about our fallen nature is that when the majority is against us, our human proclivity is just to go with it and not to stand against it. And so he has to tell us this in no uncertain terms. In fact, in strong terms and very, very directly, do not follow a crowd to do evil. That means the crowd is doing evil. And he tells us, do not follow that crowd. Don't do that. It doesn't matter what the crowd is doing. I want to encourage you, my friends, don't be intimidated by the crowd. I don't care what the crowd is doing. Do not be intimidated by that crowd. On a macro level, there are many, 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 many examples of biblical issues where we simply cannot follow the crowd. And I'm talking about biblical issues that are significant in our world today, where we just can't just simply follow the crowd. And I'm not advocating anything politically or talking about anything political. I'm talking about biblical principles, regardless of what most people think. I'll give you a few examples where it doesn't matter what the crowd says. Sexual morality, abortion, true belief in God. And now, tragically, according to the latest polls, I'll give you a new one, Israel and the Jewish people. It is remarkable, my friends, how people on both the right and the left are both now espousing an anti-Semitic polemic, due in large part to both social and traditional media. The crowd is no longer for Israel in the U.S. It's amazing. What's amazing is that this has accelerated since October 7th. October 7th, when our people were brutally slaughtered in a situation that was worse than anything since the Holocaust itself. And what has been the world response in the 2.5 years subsequently? Look at the American polls each month, more and more and more against Israel. Victim blaming from a position of self-defense. Absolutely unreal, but reveals that this is a spiritual issue because it doesn't make sense otherwise. Something that is so disproportionate like this is the most ancient evil, anti-Semitism, that you see in the world today. The rest of the world has been against Israel and the Jewish people for a long time now, by majority. But now, gosh, the polls for the first time last month crossed, flipped. Unbelievable, my friends, the crowd. But the point here is even larger than that and has many applications to our lives that we really need to internalize so that we are not neutralized in our own calling. Because this principle here, this crowd principle that you've got to be wary of, my friends, I'm telling you, all of us have to be wary of this crowd principle here, has a lot of applications in our lives. Let's go to Proverbs 29, please, in the Tanakh. Bavakasha, Proverbs chapter 29. A lot of times the reason that people go with whatever the crowd says is out of fear. Proverbs 29:25 says this. 29, verse 25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but one who trusts in Adonai will be kept safe.
Yeah.
We can't simply fear what others think or what others will think of us. Can't fear that. As most of you know, I was the youth director here at Beth El for 12 years before I became the rabbi. And one of the common topics I taught on was peer pressure. Peer pressure. But the truth is that this does not end when you turn 20 years old. It just takes a different form. It continues to be true as we work our way through life. Sometimes you feel it. You feel this pressure to fit in. You feel this pressure to be a part of the crowd, whether it be something horrific and serious or even something minor and not that egregious. But if you're pushing up against the crowd, you feel it. Friends, we can't fear what others think or be pressured by what others do. I'll give you some real life examples. First of all, I have to say that there's nothing wrong, according to the Bible, there's nothing wrong with alcohol itself. Nothing wrong. In fact, it's very much a part of the Jewish tradition. As you know, on Shabbat and other times. However, there are two cases when alcohol is very wrong. First, if one gets drunk from it. Okay, if you get getting drunk, that's a no-no. Secondly, if one is an alcoholic. If you're an alcoholic, alcohol is a no-no. Now, I've not ever personally had an issue with alcohol. I very rarely drink, although, again, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. However, according to the National Institute of Health, 10% of Americans are alcoholics. Did you know that? That's 1 out of 10. And according to the Center for Disease Control, 17% of Americans binge drink. 17%. That's almost 1 in 5. That's 1 in 6. That's important to know. Why is that important to know? It's not a tiny percentage. I decided, this is just my own personal conviction. This is nothing that I'm saying, thus saith the Lord, or has anything to do with any of you. I want to illustrate a point with it. But I decided decades ago, because my mother-in-law, our Rebbetzin's mother, is an alcoholic. And she has been sober for, I don't know, 35 years, I think. Hasn't touched it in 35 years. God bless her. And she's a role model, and she's counseled others with it. And it's just so impressive. But she knows she can't touch it. You can't touch it if you're an alcoholic. And so I decided decades ago that if I was with a group of people, I typically would not consume alcohol. Other than Manischewitz, that doesn't really count, right? Okay, it's if you don't understand that, you'll... Okay, now, the reason I don't in a group is not because I think it's personally wrong for me, but I do it to support the 1 in 6 people, or I do it to support the 1 in 10 people that struggle with it. So that they're not by themselves if they say no, right? And this is all well and good, but you don't know about Charlie's team. I'm not giving you his last name, but the first name is not made up. It's Charlie. I can see him in my mind's eye. It's Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-E-Y, Charlie. And I was working for AT&T. Some of you know I worked for AT&T and Coca-Cola before I went into ministry. I was working for AT&T, and this particular role I had when I was at AT&T there was I was working as the marketing, so the headquarters marketing team liaison to the senior sales teams throughout the region. And so typically what happened is that I would go to, I'd take a flight and go to the, you know, the once every or twice a year senior sales teams meetings in the different regions that we had across the country. And there would be the senior salespeople, the vice president, of sales for that region. Just a woman, a vice president of AT&T, pretty high up position, and all of his senior people, basically everybody in the meeting was above my pay grade. And what I did is I was presenting to them, here's what marketing's doing for you to sell in the next year. So I was the marketing liaison to the sales organization. And so I would go, and I remember Charlie's group, man, they were a fun group for sure. But then, you know, but after a while, they got to know me pretty well, because I would visit their meetings. They'd say, hey, when are you going to bring back this from corporate? You know, they're always getting me to try to give them more stuff and change what we were doing to what they wanted us to do. And so I was kind of like the in-between guy. So they had both got on my case, and they tried to butter me up at the same time, you know. So, but after, you know, days of meetings and stuff, oftentimes I'd say, hey, okay, Kev, we're going here after we finish at 5, meet us there. And, you know, I'm just there at a hotel because I'm just visiting out of town, right? And so obviously, okay, I'm going to go with him for dinner, and we go to this restaurant, man, and I'll never forget, I can see it in my mind's eye. I'll never forget, I went, and they got a table of about 12 people, a circular table with 12 people in it, this one dinner, and here I am sitting down. I was also probably the youngest guy out of all of them, and so I was sitting there, and we all got there, and they were, I think all but maybe one were guys, and they were kind of a rowdy bunch. They were sales leaders. And so, you know, anybody who's in sales is very extroverted. And especially if you're a senior leader in the sales organization, all of them were extroverted. Okay. And so I remember, I'll never forget, the server started with somebody right to my left. Okay, let me get you started with some drinks. What do you want? And, you know, man, I am telling you, they started going around the table, and they started naming drinks. Man, I'd never heard of some of these drinks before. It was like, whoa, you know, and it's like, you know, I'll take the triple fire, you know, on my head drink. It's like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. I just made that up. But the point is, you knew, man, that was full of a whole bunch of stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's like the triple fire on my head. I'd take one sip of that and I'd be out, you know? And so they started, I don't even know. They were going around, and every single one of them got just, and then it got to me with my principle about how I feel, right? And I'm like, and there's that moment, right? And I'm like, I'll have a Diet Coke. I promise you, God is my witness, I felt like 12 heads went, and all looked at me, and I just felt such pressure. I can't even tell you, man. I felt such pressure. And again, I don't even think it's wrong on that level. Now understand, I'm not saying it would have been wrong for me to order something. My point is, it's hard to stand alone when most are doing something differently. It's hard. Whew, man. I mean, I could almost, you know, a few years later here, I can almost right now feel the pressure of all those guys looking at me. It's like Diet Coke, you know, because I'm trying to get a reputation with all these guys, you know, like, hey, I'm at your level. I'm with, you know, I'm on par with all you guys, you know, and it just felt like this pressure, you know. It was like, you know, again, it was like, wow, am I going to stick with my principles or not on this? Y'all, when other people do things, especially a lot of other people, it's hard not to do it. It's hard. There are many other examples, my friends, many other examples. 70% of Americans, latest poll, sad. 70% of Americans don't attend religious services weekly or almost weekly in today's America. 70% don't. Just 20 years ago, the number was 58%. 20 years! That's a huge tsunami of a change in just 20 years. America's losing its way, y'all. As we drift further, from the majority. It will require greater and greater strength not to go along with popular sentiment. It's hard to even think, but compared to just a few decades ago, the world has changed so much. You can't always go with the popular sentiment. You know, our country, the United States of America, I'm a very proud American. I love this country. Give my life for this country. My father was a veteran, blessed memory. We're at the 250th anniversary of our great country. I love the U.S., but friends, merely going with the majority is not always right. When our country was founded in 1776, slavery was legal in all 13 states. All 13 states. The majority. You can't always go with the majority. Women in the United States did not have the universal right to vote till 1920. That's hard to even believe, really. 1920, that's barely 100 years ago. There are some people alive today who were alive then. It's nuts. Thank God our country has made progress. However, and here's the fallacy. Don't be fooled by the fallacy that as the years go on, you only make positive progress. Because sometimes it goes in the exact opposite direction. The more sophisticated we think we are, sometimes the more the majority goes the wrong direction. I mean, think about also in our people's lifetimes who are sitting in this room right now. It was probably the most culturally developed nation in the world that gave us the Holocaust. That's mind-blowing. Nazi Germany. Brilliant people. People who understand science and medicine. They were at the forefront of this stuff. The greatest engineers. They were the progenitors of the Holocaust. There are people still around today who were there. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Isaiah chapter 5. Whew, boy, a lot of this stuff reminds me of what Yeshayahu said, Isaiah, the prophet, as he was trying to trumpet truth. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Oi! To those who call evil good and good evil, who present darkness as light and light as darkness, who present bitter as sweet and sweet as bitter. Friends, this warning is in the scripture for us for a reason. There's a reason why God warns us, beware, be careful, be mindful, be on guard against those who call evil good and who call good evil. We can't be taken in by these people who have it kind of backwards, if you will, regardless if they're a crowd or not. We have to be on guard against this. Friends, the absolute unreal attacks against Israel right now are so against all logic and reason. So against all logic and reason. We have to stand for truth regardless of what any anti-Semitic horde says. Amen? We have to stand for truth. Stand for what's right. It doesn't matter what the crowd is doing. Irina Sendler didn't care what the authorities said. She knew full well. It was posted all over the place in Warsaw. The penalty for what she was doing was death. She knew full well. And you think about it too. You talk about the chance that you're going to get found out. If you're sending thousands of children to thousands of Polish places to keep these children, all it takes is one of them to be double agent or for whatever reason to give you up. My gosh, what courage. This is unfathomable. She was not deterred by what the crowd did. She had a moment where she had to decide what she stood for. Was she simply going to go along with what most others were doing, or was she going to do what was right regardless of the consequences? Generations are alive today because of her choices. And again, she died as a righteous of the Gentiles in 2008. May her memory be for a blessing. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. So true in our world and our country today. Matthew chapter 7. We have to hear the words of Moshiach Yeshua, the Messiah. Yeshua, what did he say? He told us about this stuff and about the paths that people take in the world, even of that day, but in the world today, the paths that people take and what those paths look like. Matthew 7, verse 13, he said, enter through the narrow gate. He wants us to enter through the narrow gate. Why? For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. How narrow is the gate and difficult the way that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So, here is your Rabbi Robert quote. Friends, it is not easy, beloved, but when the parade is marching this way, you got to be marching this way. Because the parade, when it pushes up against you, you feel it. It's hard. It's easy to march with the parade. Everybody in the parade's going the same way. You've seen Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. Everybody march. It's easy to march with the parade. It's hard to march against the parade. But this, my friend, is what we are called to do. Why? Because wide is the way that leads to destruction. Many will enter there within, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and those that find it are few. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything, my friends. Family, we have to be bold in our declaration of faith. Don't be taken by the riptide of the parade. Be willing to take a stand and say, no, I'm going the other way. Might you be unpopular? Yes. Might it cost you your job? Well, maybe not today, but gosh, by the way things are going, you know who knows what tomorrow might bring. But friends, it does not matter. All that matters is what your Creator thinks. We have to stand up for God and stand up for truth. Jeremiah, my friend, stood up. Jeremiah stood up and he couldn't be silent because he said it was like a fire in his bones, and they put him in prison. Daniel stood up about what was against what was popular, and he was thrown into the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace. Stephen was stoned. Elijah by himself alone battled 450 prophets of Baal and won. Moses himself was so unpopular, my friends, that even his own mother tried to vote him out of office. Maybe not quite, but almost. But never forget, beloved, that the only one that you really need to care, The only one that you really need to care what they think is God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the name above all names, Hashem himself. This is what we have to focus on, my friends. Imagine if all these people of the Bible had just gone with the crowd. This book could be a lot different today. It wouldn't have their names in it. Do you want to have your name associated with those names? Well, you got to be willing to stand up to the crowd. The crowd is, the parade's marching one way. You got to be willing to march the other way. Let's conclude with the example of Rabbi Shaul. Galatians chapter 1, please. Galatians 1. Damien, you remember when Rabbi Robert used to march in that parade thing that he used to do? Only at this very moment did I realize that that takes some energy to do. It's like I'm breathing a little bit. My blood pressure's going now, man. You march against that parade, man. I feel it up here. Oh, I know I need to exercise more. Rabbi Shaul, Galatians chapter 1. What does it say in verse 9? Oh, man, it's a warning for us. It's a warning for us. As we have said before, so now I repeat. If anyone proclaims to you good news other than what you received, let that person be under a curse. Am I now trying to win people's approval or God's? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Messiah. It's a choice, man. It's a choice. What are we going to do? I am here to give you some strength to stand up for truth, to stand up for what's right, regardless of what the crowd does. It's completely irrelevant. Be a servant of Messiah Yeshua. This means we can't be people pleasers. We have to be God pleasers. I know, my friends, that I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim passing through. But as long as I'm on this planet, I want to stand for what is right. Even if that means going against the parade, I choose truth. I choose Him. The title of my message is Narrow Path. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua into their hearts. If you have never said, yes, God, I receive Yeshua as my Messiah. I believe He's risen again. I believe He is the Messiah. If you've never said that prayer before, but you'd like to today, wherever you are, raise your hand. We'll pray together. So just be honest and raise your hand. If that's you, if you've never given your life to God, never said, yes, I believe Yeshua is the Messiah, but you want to today, just wave your hand at me. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're watching online, or maybe you're here and you couldn't quite get your hand up, but you'd like to say that prayer. Just repeat this simple prayer after me. You can do it silently. God hears you. And if in doing so, the Lord will transform you. Say, dear God, I humble myself before you. I accept Yeshua into my heart. I believe He's risen again, sitting at your right hand. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I'll live the rest of my days for you. Thank you, Lord. Yeshua's name. Boy, you talk about not popular. You talk about going against the crowd. It's not always a popular thing, even amongst our people, to believe Yeshua is the Messiah. It doesn't matter if it's true. It doesn't matter if it's true. Lord, I pray for each and every person here. And if you said that prayer for the first time, if you're in the room, see me after the service. If you're watching online, send us an email. We want to celebrate with you. Best decision you ever made. Lord, I pray for each and every person who's in this room. God, I pray for the strength. I think of what we say, chazak. Lord, I pray for strength to stand up, even if we're by ourselves, even if we're alone, even if we're going against the crowd. Lord, that nonetheless, that we will have the strength to do so. I think about your son, Yeshua, that came to this earth and stood alone for us. Thank God he did. The world is different because of it. Touch each and every person. Let them not feel pressured by the world and by the crowd. Let us stand strong for what is right, for what is true. Thank you, God, for this. Lord, we bless you. Bless you for the service. Bless you for Shabbat, for the opportunity to come into your house and to grow and to learn of you. We thank you for these things, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Be blessed this week. Keep praying for Israel and for the United States troops.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah, or how you can become part of our Beth-Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.